Everybody, huddle up. Live from the Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company, this is the Great Dane Huddle featuring Badgers legend and special guest host, Barry Alvarez.
I'd love to coach a game like that.
Oh, man.
They may not see a pass in the second half. And that was good. That would be the shortest second half in Camp Randall history. I'd run that clock. That game would be over. We'd be home having cocktails at 3:30.
On 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand, alongside former Badgers Derek Engler and Tarek Saleh, here's Alex Gravatt.
Huddle on 100.5 ESPN Madison. I'm Alex Gravatt alongside Badger legends Tarek Saleh, Derek Engler, and Coach Barry Alvarez. It's been a fantastic week, but I want to dive in right away. Have you guys ever had to use the bathroom during a game?
Very seldom, for whatever reason.
Yeah, I mean,
I've been around it. I mean, Derek, I think we've all, you know, guys that have to, you get the towels out, and a guy goes to the bathroom, and you just try it, and...
It's not about, you don't go down to the locker room for that one.
No, there's those big garbage cans, so, you just, I'm serious. You just put towels up, and, I mean, that's, yeah.
But seldom.
A lot of guys did that, but, you know, I mean.
All right, I was just... I say we've got a minute before the show starts, and Derek, you just walk straight away to the bathroom and come back. Now, admittedly, you made it just in time.
Right.
I'm proud of you for that, but I was just curious.
Yeah,
when it comes to game time.
The guys are 50
observant.
Years old. They're not fit. When you're 50 years old, the game changes.
Absolutely. Badgers win. It's a 42-7 thumping of Rutgers. Absolutely fantastic. I was thrilled. I did the post game. Everyone was calling in very happy and excited, it seems like. But I want to know, what did the Badgers prove to you this weekend? And, Coach, I'd love to start with what your takeaway was in that.
Yeah, you know, well, we've talked about this before, about putting someone away when you've got a lead. And I love the way that they just kept the pedal down. They just kept playing. And both sides of the ball. That was as complete a game as we've had around here in a long time. And that's what I learned, and that's a thing that I thought they did so well. Complete victory, all phases of the game played especially well. Hard to do.
The narrative, what I was worried about was like, okay, after the big lead in the first half, were we going to be able to close out in the second half? And are they going to, accuse our staff of not being able to make changes and adapt and close the deal? Derek, we closed the deal. We played four quarters. Pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I just love to see the chains keep moving. You know, we talk about third down, fourth down conversions. Both last week and this week, tremendously better, obviously. I think we were 7 or 8 for 15.
Yeah.
8 of 15. You know, I mean, it's fun to – watch a game on both sides of the ball, as Coach said, because really I was really impressed with the defense. I saw the defense flying around, the linebackers. You know, I'm like, okay, we can play with these linebackers now. Like, where you been?
No question, Derek.
That's not a bad team. That Rutgers team's not a bad team.
Oh,
there's no question. Made them look bad
in their environment. Sure. In their environment too.
Yeah.
Yep. And Coach, we had the fourth and one end of the second quarter. We stopped him. The kid Hillis, is that the D lineman?
Hmm.
And then Peterson, those guys. I mean, the outside linebacker. It was a great team defense, defensive effort to stop them on the fourth and one.
Jerry DiNardo on the Big Ten Network, he had Rutgers defense as one of the better defenses in the country.
Really?
Yeah, and you know, I mean,
Jerry better go back and look at his evaluation.
Fair enough.
His evaluation.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but we knew they were going to be tough. And for us to go out, I mean, we talked about it way even preseason.
We starred that one.
Training camp.
That
we're like, oh, boy,
that's scary.
That's
on the
a
road.
Catchy game. Uh-oh. You know, we're looking at that one, and we're like, oh, boy, I don't like that
Piscataway, New Jersey?
Yeah.
It's the last place you want to be.
11 a.m.
It's hard to get up for a game.
You get ambushed there, right, Coach?
Yeah, you can get, and they have been. And so to play as well as they did, again, both sides of the ball, complete game, special team, the whole thing, just totally dominate the game. That was impressive. Gives you a lot of momentum going into, you know, continue into the Big Ten season.
You know, I was listening to the broadcast, and I thought the broadcaster was a little one-sided. You know, they were trying to sell the Rutgers story and all this, and we just kept beating their ass. And then they said, we didn't get to talk much to Tressel. And I guess, you know, I could see Coach Tressel not want to talk about anything. He just wants to go out and do. And the only thing he said, hey, we got to tackle. And then I was thinking that, what do we talk about on the show? You know, is our linebackers tackling and playing with great effort. And you know what? They went out and did it.
You know what that tells me? That's what he worked on all week.
Yep, right.
Emphasized. I mean, when you say, we got to tackle, that's your defensive coordinator saying that. So I'll guarantee you all last week they were tackling, different types of tackling, and it showed up in the game. Whatever you emphasize, that's what you get.
Amen.
And they held Kyle Menungai pretty in check, keeping him under 100 yards. The Rutgers has not won a game in a while since if he gets above 100 yards. If he doesn't get above, they lose.
He's their bell cow.
Menungai can play.
No question.
And they shut him down. So now I just put this in the Twitter sphere, but I want to know, are the Badgers back? There's been a lot of talk about whether or not this Badgers team is fantastic, is great. Are they back?
I don't think after one game you say they're back. You have to see consistency. You have to see consistency. Come back this week and let's do the same thing this week at Northwestern, which has been a tough place for us to play for as long as I've been here. That's been a tough place to play. Let's show up this week and play well, then come home and play well.
Now it's even worse. I think it's a soccer field by the lake.
It's going to be like a festival. That's what it's going to be. Festival.
It's going to be an ultimate frisbee field.
Yeah.
I'm well acquainted with this area. Badgers taking on Northwestern.
Coach, have you seen the field? Where the
I saw a picture
you
of
saw
it.
Saw a picture of it?
And it was bad enough when they thought it was good.
Yeah.
You know, that was a tough place to play. The locker room's worse than the high school locker room. And it was just – I hated to go down there. It was a downer. It was a bummer.
No
question. And they're always a good team, and they're well coached. And you're going into like your old high school locker room. It's just like a step back. And you know, we didn't play well down there.
Well, seats are going for $175 in the end zone right now.
Yeah,
because there's no
what's the capacity?
Availability.
12,000. 12,000.
Wow.
Is the capacity. So people want to go to the experience because it is still an interesting place to play, right? You're right on the lake.
Well, of course.
There's cool stuff going on there. And this is an interesting game for both Wisconsin and Northwestern. Northwestern just knocked off Maryland in a pretty meaningful way. So is this perhaps a game that could feel like
dominated Maryland.
Yeah. I guarantee it. You better be ready to play against these guys now. So down there, like I said, it's a very difficult place to play. And they'll be ready. It'll be a very hard and very physical ball game.
That's former Badgers head coach Barry Alvarez. I'm Alex Gravatt alongside Tarek Salah and Derek Angler. This is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5. 844-770-3776 is your way into the show. You can join us. You can tell us, do you think the Badgers are back? Because there's a lot of intrigue there. And Tarek, what do you think?
Well, I want to get Derek's input on this. Because when I think back, I think the offensive line has been consistent at least the last two or three games, Derek. I saw a guy, Brunner, getting out and getting after people and being physical. Nelson's always been there, Malman, those guys. They're starting to, you know, be legit.
I actually thought they kind of had – I know this probably to a lot of people wouldn't make sense, but I felt like – I started to really believe in the offensive line in the Alabama game. And then I definitely did the USC game. Because I saw what we did to the Alabama front, and that's Alabama. We know what happened there. You get behind the eight ball against an Alabama team, you're going to be in a tough situation as an offensive lineman. I will say this, though. The last two games has been domination. There's no question. And against Purdue, but on the road against a good Rutgers defense and defensive front, they did a lot of good things. And they're protecting the quarterback, backup quarterback. Mm-hmm. So important. So important. Braden's got all kinds of time. You know, and he's got some guys now. He's got some playmakers. V8, he's a playmaker.
Absolutely.
He's a playmaker. There's no question. Will Pauling, hopefully Bryson gets back from his injury.
Will Pauling?
I said Will Pauling, but there's the other guy I can't remember.
Church right Kekahuna?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Is good he player. Injured too?
How'd you forget that?
No, he's all right. Say that three times.
Yeah, Dretch. Dretch.
Coach Braden Locke, give me your perspective on him, your thoughts.
Consistent. Just nothing flashy. Just come in and do your job. Get the ball where it's supposed to be. I like what I see.
Gaining momentum.
I hate to push back on you, but nothing flashy. He's kind of a gunslinger. He's out there throwing the rock pretty far. It's exciting.
He's not afraid to throw it down the field. You know, it's not all checkdowns, which is good.
It feels like a different.
We think it's flashy.
Yeah.
You throw it more than 10 yards.
Yeah, right?
It's flashy.
What does it mean to have a guy like that on your team who is not afraid, who's willing to go and do that?
It stretches the field for the defense. The defense has to respect things and loosen up a little bit, and it actually opens up things for you.
I was impressed with he tucked the ball and ran a little bit. I was impressed with that. I really like this kid. And I think he's gaining confidence with that offensive line has really given him a lot of confidence because he's being protected. You know, we're running the football.
Lions playing well, aren't they?
They are. They are. They really are. Even the center, who I was not too high on, he's coming around.
Two false starts. That was an interesting one.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on
probably
there.
Jacked it up. He just.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you never know.
We were down two penalties overall. We were down two, but we had five penalties. So we still got to clean that up a little bit. But down two, we did a better job in that department.
Still, I saw we're one of the least penalized teams in the country.
We are?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. It's been clean.
Yeah.
It's been relatively clean. You mentioned Braden Locke was running a little bit. I want to get your thoughts on another quarterback who ran this past weekend. But get more for your pour. The Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company is a Madison original brewing award-winning craft beers for over 30 years. And now, every Monday through Thursday, from 3 until 6 p.m., enjoy a 20-ounce pint of their flagship beers for only $3 from the Crop Circle Wheat, the Good Dog IPA, and the Old Glory APA. And while you're down here, you got to check out the weekly special, the Falafel Non-Wrap. It includes whipped feta, dill sauce, a lemon tahini sauce. It looks awesome. Grilled onions, grilled peppers, and it's fantastic. Come check it out and head to one of their three locations in Fitchburg, Hilldale, downtown, or you can come join us right now on the east side. Enjoy a bigger and better happy hour. 844-770-3776 is your way into the show. Did the Badgers prove something to you this weekend? It is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN.
Chicago, Chicago, I will show you around. I love it. Bet your bottom dollar you lose the blues in Chicago, Chicago. The town that Billy Sunday couldn't shut down. On State Street, that great street, I just want to say, they do things they don't do on Broadway.
42-7, the Badgers walk all over Rutgers. They're proven to me that this is a team that's ready to go. Everyone else seems to feel like we need one more, is the general vibe that I'm getting. I'm Alex Gravatt alongside Tarek Salah, Derek Engler, and UW former athletic director and head coach Barry Alvarez. Now, you leaned right into that one, Derek. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I thought it was about me. I teased this before the break. There's another quarterback who's running this weekend, and it's Big Ten football. I want to get your thoughts on the Ohio State-Oregon game. It looked really good, and Coach, you said all offseason that these former Pac-12 teams are in for a surprise coming out to the Big Ten. One sits atop, alone atop the power rankings at this point. Are they welcomed? Are they here? Are they here to stay, Oregon?
Oregon's real now. I mean, they've been good for been good for a while.
I think you take you, Coach. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but out of the West Coast, you named the one team on the West Coast that can compete.
Well, USC competed with Penn State for sure.
USC's real. I mean, You know, they're always going to have, you know, historically, they've recruited physical guys. They've been able to stand up and hold up against people, but not a lot of schools on the West Coast can. Oregon, now we played them. We had a probably a 4-game series with them, and they can hold up now. They recruit, you know, Nike.
Yeah.
They're going to get the best money combined. They'll get players from all over the country, but they're going to own the West Coast.
Yeah, they're poaching California, right?
They always have. Yep. There's no question. I mean, and not since really USC has not since the days of Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush. They really haven't. I mean, we beat them in a bowl game since then, and you know, I think of Oregon, and quite honestly, I thought of Washington until their head coach left.
Yeah.
Obviously, they were
Washington for a while.
Yep.
When
yep.
I first got into the league in the 90s.
That's right.
Washington Don was James. The best team. Don James had the best program in the country.
That's right.
He did. He was getting the best players out of California.
And, Coach, that's where the playing field is. If you win California on the recruiting side trail, you're gonna win. And correct me wrong, but Pete Carroll, what I understood, Tim Davis, who went there from your staff, I got to talk to him and go out there. They used to have 7 guys recruiting the country and 1 California before Pete got there. He reversed it. Yep. He had 7 guys recruiting California, 1 guy recruiting the country.
And flipped.
Flipped it, yeah.
Yeah, flipped out that program, the success of that program.
No question.
And the dominance when Pete was there because they owned L.A. and they owned Southern California.
It's where all the talent is.
A lot of good players.
Amen.
So now 3 of the top 4 teams in the country are Big Ten teams in the most recent AP poll. Texas stands alone at the top. Do you think that any of the Big Ten teams can compete with Texas? They just look incredible.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Which one?
Ohio State, Oregon.
We'll see.
A little bit sheepish on Penn State still?
No, I think Penn State's really good.
I think Penn State will muscle up. You know, I think if they have mistake-free football, you know, meaning win the turnover battle, you know, all the special teams, all the key things, Penn State is right in there with
physically,
Texas.
They're capable of lining up and playing with them.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Listen, don't count Alabama, Georgia out. Some of these other SEC teams. This is what the NIL has created is a lot of parity because everybody's money's green. So if you can invest in a player, you get guys there, you get transfers, you get a quarterback. There's a lot of competitive teams out there, and it's going to be a heck of a run here.
I think you're right, Tark.
And now Penn State, after holding off USC, who has struggled a little bit this season, losing to Minnesota. They did obviously beat up on the Badgers. I think play that game again. I feel a little bit more confident nowadays. But they planted the flag on USC's logo right at the 50. How do we feel about the flag planting, Coach?
You know what? You do that, you better. I always used to say, your mouth writes a check, your ass better cover it.
No question.
You start woofing like that, you better cover it. You better back it up.
Absolutely. I mean, like, I feel like it's got to be more of a, you're the underdog, you go and you beat the unbeatable, and USC is very beatable. That was my thought.
I think as a coach, sometimes guys grow up and they have this impression of USC as unbeatable. They think OJ's still there, you know, and that they're these un, unbeatable teams. And you have to show them they're not beatable. You have to convince them, hey, they're just – these cats are going to be – they're not going to be as good as you think. And you'll find that up when you line up. So let's not prepare to go out and play some Superman group of guys.
I think they were relieved. I mean, they were down by two touchdowns or whatever it was at halftime. I think they were relieved.
Absolutely. I was bought in.
You know, when you see things like that, you really got to question, where that whole that mindset of that team is. You're gonna go out there after you win an overtime game that you're lucky to win. By the way, you should celebrate that and get the hell out of Dodge. Versus going and taking the time to go plan it, and I think they did it through somebody's jersey.
That was that was another team doing it on Baker Mayfield's jersey.
That was Texas.
Oh, okay, that was a whole nother different one.
A lot of flag planting this week. Badgers, don't plant the flag.
Coach wouldn't let us.
I was going to say, would you get a hand upside the head? And Penn State's coach took it right away too. He said, "No, you're not. Not today."
Yeah.
I mean, we weren't pretty enough to do that.
No. You know what I mean? Just go out and plant your flag while you're playing.
Yeah,
exactly.
You got four quarters to plant your flag.
And for three quarters today with Wisconsin Badgers did go out. They planted their flag, this past weekend. They went scoreless in the second, so there's a little bit of worry there. But then coming out of half, they looked fantastic. How can the Badgers use this momentum? I think they've outscored their opponent 94-13 in the last two games. How can you use that momentum going into another game that is, we've mentioned it, maybe a trap game, but also a game that you should win handily, Coach?
It's confidence. It's having confidence as a team that you can accomplish whatever you strive for. That what your coaches are telling you is true. And they're telling you, you're better. You know, you can win. They have to keep getting better. You can't be satisfied. Continue to improve. If you continue to improve, sky's the limit.
You know, Coach Longo was feeling the heat after that USC game. I texted with him after, because he's a Jersey guy. So I know that had been sweet for him. And his response, and Tarek was on the thread too, is, just one game at a time, and that tells me everything because, he has started to see finally in the last two games some things. And it's not the air raid, guys. We just ran for 310 yards. I think we had more rushes than passes. So it's a balance, and he understands that. We know that. It was that. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was fortunate enough to have pro quarterbacks at North Carolina, so that's different. But even there, he was balanced, 50-50.
So there's a lot of great coaches out there, right? But there's only so many that get the opportunity to get their team to believe that they could win on a consistent basis. Coach, we talk about that a lot, right? Yeah. And even in the years prior to us winning that 94 Rose Bowl, there was glimpses of success. But then they turn the switch and making everyone believe that trust that what I'm telling you as a coach is going to work. Bill Belichick had a lot of years as a head coach that wasn't successful. He finally got Brady. He understood the salary cap. He made them believe. They started winning. Doesn't mean he was a bad coach prior, but he got guys to believe. And if you get guys to believe, now Fickell's telling the guys, hey, believe in what I'm saying. Now we got to go back.
He doesn't have to say it, Tarek.
Yeah.
The results tell them.
Follow
the plan. Just follow the plan, and you'll be successful.
And Coach, you probably had many a staff meetings where you want to know, hey, are your players, are they buying in? Are they buying in? And you could see that probably at practice, obviously after the results of a game. Where we really truly started to believe in the message that was being sent by yourself and your staff, we just knew as players, this is something that we need to accept and do. And there's a grind now. They worked us. They worked us on a Wednesday and a Thursday.
No, not so much on Thursday. Tuesday, Wednesday. You're
depends working. On how the practice was going, Coach.
But after we have success and we believe,
yeah.
Then if you have a bad quarter, if you have a bad series, the coach, Coach Alvarez, come back and say, "Hey, remember what got us here? Remember the things, the fundamentals." Because when you're facing adversity, what do? You resort to your fundamentals. That means we're going to knock the snot out of people. We're going to be fundamentally sound, and we're going to perform. And that now is a reference point for this team. If they have a bad quarter, they could rely on their fundamentals and believe in what's
huge building block for Coach Dressel in that defense.
Absolutely.
And we've heard a lot of conversations about what the identity of this team is. And some people have said it's been an identity crisis. It's been a figuring out their identity. Do we feel closer to establishing an identity of Wisconsin football again, Coach?
I'm not sure of that.
All right.
You know, I think we've got a good start. I think we're playing well, but you got to do that week in and week out. It's not one game, couple games. You have to show that's what you're made of, and that's what consistently this is what we're going to do. And you better be able to hold up. If you're playing us, this is what you have to hold up against. We're not going to try to sneak up on you and try to fool you with anything. This is how we're going to play, and can you do it better than we can?
All I know is I got fired up because I saw one play under center in the red zone.
We did. I was going to mention that. I was like, oh, my gosh.
I wanted to take a picture of it.
third and three. They didn't get it. Fourth and one. What do? Shotgun, and they got it.
They got it.
That's what they practice. That's what they practice. We've already said our opinion and our beliefs. That's okay.
Yeah.
They have, you know. Their offensive staff believes they believe in other
just
things.
Just the fact
that's
that
okay.
They're changing it up, that's beautiful because that defense has got to recognize that, you know, and prepare for that. I love it, and I know the offensive line loves it, so maybe we see a little bit more of that. And I don't care. I don't care if we're third and two under center and then we're fourth and one in shotgun. As long as we get the first down and move the chains, that's all we care about.
All right, 844-770-3776. Call in, text in. I want to hear from you. What are the Badgers back? What does that mean to you? Right now, the ESPN Madison, the Great Dane Pub poll question, 30-70. They're back 30, not sold yet, 70. I want to know a little bit more about what that means coming up next. But Janesville Kia, located right off the Interstate 90, is only minutes away from Madison. They treat people the way that they like to be treated, and that's why they are up 78% over last year. See for yourself why people all over Wisconsin have experienced the difference that Janesville Kia and told their friends about it. Come see Kia's groundbreaking lineup of award-winning vehicles and an industry-leading 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. Experience the difference a great customer service makes today at Janesville Kia. This is the Great Dane Huddle, live from the Great Dane East Side. Wisconsin Badgers, big winners this past week, 42-7, and we're currently big winners as we're chowing down on some really excellent food at the Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company on the east side of Madison. Riley Yauch, back in the ESPN Madison Everlight Solar Studios, you just popped on the mic to tell me that you believe, like, I'm wondering, are the Badgers back? Are they back, Riley? And what does that mean to you?
See, in my opinion, they're all the way back. I'm loving what I'm seeing so far. We finally have some consistency on offense, as Coach was saying, with Braden Locke, Tui Walker. We got a number one running back. And I will go as far as to say I believe the Badgers are guaranteed going to get one of two against either Penn State or Oregon. I don't know which one they're going to beat, but for sure they're going to beat one. I am all in. I think the Badgers are back.
Tarek,
my man, he just jinxed us. We say that behind the scenes, and we got Mush over here telling us that we're gonna do that. But you know what? I'm optimistic that we're gonna do it. But
We just don't like to talk about it, but that could be possible.
How do you not overlook this game coming up against Northwestern with Penn State right on the horizon? They look beatable in this past week.
That's a question for Coach.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Take a look at our record against Northwestern. Take a look at how difficult they have been historically against Wisconsin. Northwestern has been a thorn in our side. If you even think about overlooking them, you got a problem, because they're really well disciplined, fundamentally sound, and they're going, and down there is even more difficult. It's a hard place to play.
The Badgers are a trap, Coach, right?
It's a trap game.
The Badgers are 5-5 against Northwestern in the last 10 games, despite the Badgers being one of the best teams.
Probably favored in all 10 games.
Yeah.
Right.
By two touchdowns in a lot of cases.
And you could go way back further than 10 games, and it's probably 50%. Pat Fitzgerald, former head coach there, was our senior year. And they had some guys, Matt Rice, some other guys, you know, when we talk about it with our guy that's in your neighborhood,
Paul Janis,
who was an offensive tackle.
Justin Chabot was the other tackle.
Yeah, yeah.
Holden, son
of a gun.
So
we know all those guys, and
they're good guys.
They circled us every offseason. We were the number one. It wasn't Michigan. It wasn't Ohio State. It was us. That's who they were gunning for.
Yeah. Hell have no fury like a
unrecruited player. That was Matt Rice, Chicago Tribune.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. That's Derek Engler, Tarek Salah, former head coach Barry Alvarez. I'm Alex Gravatt. This is the Great Dane Huddle, 844-770-3776.
Our defense needs to continue to have, you know, build on the success they had last week. We got a lot to do there. We got to continue that. And Coach Tressel said, I love the fact that he was telling the announcers that we're just going to tackle. And that's what they emphasized in practice, as Coach said. And we got to continue that this week.
This game, this past game against Rutgers, did feel a lot more like the Badgers of the last decade, right? We had a guy run for 298 yards. He had a reception for another 4. So he's over 200. And Tyree Walker, or as I like to call him, Tyree Walker, as he just breaks it away. What does it mean to have a guy like he feels like he's truly emerged as not only the number one running back, but a true Wisconsin back? What does that mean to the team, and what does that mean to the program to have another guy fill those shoes?
You know what? To me, I'm going to back up. I'll go back to Derek here. That's about your offensive line is dominating some people. For a back to run for 200 yards, he's not doing it by himself. I mean, you can't get past the line of scrimmage if they're not doing a good job. So, to me, your line is back in sync and playing like some of our really good lines. That gives you a chance. Now you've got a good back carrying it behind him. That's how you get the ball rolling.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, you started to hear some feedback from some of the guys when, you know, Coach Blazek came in, and they really liked him. They really liked the way he coached. They really liked his attention to detail, by the way. That's very important as an offensive line coach. You know, they were impressed with the way he taught the technique. They were comfortable with it. And you're seeing it. I mean, you're seeing these guys move in unison up front, which is that's what you need.
We have all these different pieces, right? You got the secondary, you got the front seven, the offensive line, you get the quarterback. And I feel like we've been going through a lot of drills and a lot of fundamentals and all this stuff, and you're finally seeing where, like, it's coming together and the picture's making sense for the guys, hence the belief. And you're actually starting to see them strain and compete, because that – to win the game. That means score and protect the end zone. And there's something to that as opposed to just going through things and going through the motions.
And
now we're putting purpose behind it.
To your point, Tarek, I'm seeing the confidence in the offensive linemen in finishing blocks. Like I didn't see that last year whatsoever. And I'm seeing guys just pummeling guys because they know where they're going and they know exactly what they're doing and they know the technique and the fundamentals and the blocking scheme, which last year that was a question, and I heard that all year long. The blocking scheme was always in question. When you give offensive linemen confidence in where they're going, point A to point B, and you can finish a guy, they're going to do it.
And they're getting rewarded.
Amen.
There's nothing like seeing the ball going down the field. You're working hard up front. You're finishing somebody, and whew, there goes a back. Yeah, you see a back go by you.
Tywee or Ty Wow. I'm okay with either. Ty Wow and Tywee Walker running all over it. Who do you think is taking advantage of this excellent offensive line play better, Braden Locke or Tywee Walker? And I'll start with you as the offensive lineman, Derek.
Well, I think, you know, you watch Braden back there forever, and he's doing all his check downs and everything else. And a young buck is going to take a shot. To your point, you're like, oh, wow, it's crazy. I mean, well, when you give him time, that gives him confidence. And he could throw one down to V8 for sure. I mean, and that's important. And same thing with setting up the run. I think, you know, we I don't know. I mean, we have a shot. If that offensive line continues to improve, we have a real shot.
Braden is able to do what he does in practice. By that, I mean they're giving him time. So you can go through all these drills in practice and you can do all those things. But if all of a sudden you set up and you're ready to go through your progression of reads and there's somebody whistling at you, that goes out the window. Now you're ad-libbing. Now he sets up, he has confidence, he has protection. He can go through his reads just as he's practiced all week. It's a different world.
No question. I think the quarterback is an evolution for him because he was young, and all that's coming together. I think Tywee he's like water. He's going to find his way. If there's a hole, he's gonna get there. So it's a little easier for him because you don't have all these moving parts where the quarterback's got to do so much. But he's gaining confidence. So both guys are beneficiaries of that offensive line.
All right. Only a quarter, just under a quarter of fans voting in the ESPN Madison Great Dane Pub poll question. Believe the Badgers are back. Riley Yauch in the ESPN Madison Everlight Solar Studio is sold. These guys want to see a little bit more. This is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about turnovers. The Badgers have had a couple interesting turnovers from the quarterback. The Packers have had a ton of turnovers. How can you build on that? Coming up next, this is ESPN Madison and the Great Dane Huddle. Huddle rolls on live from the east side as Derek Engler walks back with a couple beers. And it's been an eventful few minutes. We've had water spilling. We've had food. We've had random interactions at the bar. It's a great night to be here at the ESPN Madison remote broadcast.
Nothing
live from
you
the
can't
east
handle,
side.
Young Buck.
Absolutely. I teased it before the break here. Alex Gravatt alongside Derek Engler, Tarek Saleh, and former head coach Barry Alvarez. But there have been a lot of turnovers, pro-Packers and a little bit anti-Badgers. The Badgers have had a couple boneheaded interceptions, but Jim Rutledge of ESPN Madison's, and I bring him up all the time. You looked right over to him.
You lost credibility all there.
Muff punts.
Oh, yeah. All right, well, let's start there. What's going on the special teams unit that all of a sudden there are muff punts on both sides of the ball all the time?
Well, it's early in the season, right? And coach,
can we make that argument anymore?
Well, I think we're still, I think now with limited time in practice and some of these things, there's a lot more mistakes earlier in the season. And I think coach, we talked about that a lot. You know, there's defense usually adopts faster than offense because offense is more technical, and special teams, there's only so much special teams you have time for,
right?
And problems happen.
That's right. And I think early in the year, guys are going to take chances. And coaches show them. This is how it affects the game. They don't realize how a turnover on a punt affects the game. You know, I always used to say, when we make somebody punt, the next snap, I want to make sure we have the ball. You know, don't take a chance with a punt. I'd rather hit the ground. Then if you're not sure that you're going to field that punt, get away from it. But guys want to take chances. The ball's coming out. There's a turnover on the special teams. And that's huge, because that's – you're talking about the field position and everything else. And points, probably.
Yeah, it's no question. I mean, Coach, you're right. The field position – so turnover is one thing. Usually that's going to give you 3 points. A turnover on special teams, a muff punt, you know, you drop the ball on a kickoff return or fumble on a kickoff return – That is absolutely huge. That turns into more 7-point swing, and that's tough to overcome if you do that, and that's really giving a freebie.
Yeah, drive start is a huge statistic across the board. We don't want to give up the ball without a kick or a punt, right?
Right.
And we want to make sure that we don't, you know,
you
make sure we secure the ball.
Yeah, it's like the longest pass play you have all day if you drop a punt like that. But speaking of takeaways, like true takeaways, not the giveaways, Coach, you've had a handful of players who absolutely were able to take the ball away. But a lot of people believe that it's too variable to have a defense predicated on takeaways. Now, during the break, Derek, you said that in the NFL, the team that makes it to the NFC Championship, it's always these high turnover teams. Yeah, in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's you look at it every year. Our coach used to do this, our head coach, and we'd look at the turnover differential, and we'd look at the top teams, the plus teams, and every single one of them made the playoffs, most of them, if not all of them. And why I think Green Bay has a chance, if they continue this, they're going to be right in the mix for the Super Bowl.
You know, some teams spend a lot of time emphasizing turnovers, how you create turnovers, punching the ball. You see everybody punch the ball. Some teams do it more than others. But every time that you're going to tackle someone, the second guy in, or if you have a chance in the first guy, you're going after the ball. And if somebody gets a little sloppy, if they're not high and tight protecting a football, I saw it a couple times this weekend. Somebody hits that ball clean, whoop, it's out.
And so that's something that as a coach you're encouraging.
No, you practice it.
You practice it.
You not only encourage it, you practice it and show your players how to knock the ball out. You have periods. You know, it doesn't have to be long, but you can get a lot of reputations of somebody holding a ball. It's another defensive guy, but just punching it out.
Tip drill. You tip the ball, someone catches it, and everybody goes, "Well, why are you doing it?" Well, because the ball's going to get tipped, and you got to react to it. And between
adjusting,
punching the ball out,
and
you practice it, and then get a scout team, you get a turnover, you celebrate it, and then you go back and do it again.
You walk onto a practice field in the National Football League, and you watch individual of secondary and linebackers, and they have drills specified just for this, just for going after the ball. And the Steelers that's what they do. They hunt the ball. They literally, at the same time trying to make a tackle while wrapping up, they're throwing an uppercut.
Well, TJ put a clinic on the 3-yard line.
The same thing.
I forgot who they're playing. Who are they? I don't know who they play, but he knocked the ball out this past weekend, and it was a clinic on how to do it.
Well, the Packers did a really good job of that, too. So, really, really quick, last thought, Coach. It's not just the freedom, but a defensive coordinator change can make a huge change in turnover differential, too?
I don't know that.
You don't know that?
I don't know that. Depends on the coordinator. Depends on what they emphasize.
All right.
Also, I'll just give you a look. They upgraded their defensive talent. And if you take a coach who's going to emphasize turnovers with more talent, you're going to be be successful.
The wisdom of a former NFL defensive player. I'm Alex Gravatt alongside Tarek Saleh, Derek Engler, and Coach Barry Alvarez. This has been the Great Dane Huddle live from the East Side Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company.